Hi, everybody. I'm Maury Povich. On my podcast, On Par with Maury Povich, I'm going to sit down with the icons, the stars, and the faces at the very center of today's big cultural moments. With everyone from comedians Josh Johnson, Dan Soder, Leanne Morgan, to newsmakers Don Lemon, Joy Reid, Aaron Parnas, and so many more. So join me for new episodes every week, because nothing is off limits. Great conversations. They're always on par. Follow and listen to On Par with Maury Povich wherever you get your podcasts.
Both hailing from parts unknown at a combined weight of 501 pounds, they are the Morning Rush Hour World Tag Team Champions. They have no fear, no back down, just a couple of gutsy guys. No one will take those MRH World Tag titles from these men. It's Taz, it's the Moose, illustrious champions, right here every day on CBS Sports Radio.
You know it's every day. Moose and Taz be paving the way. Talking about every sport. You know that they never missing a play. From the NBA to the NFL to college games. They always bringing the knowledge. Nobody ever can try to go stop it. Only we talking the truth. Only we talking the truth. Hey, you know it's Taz and Moose. You know it's Taz and Moose. Hey.
Taz and the Moose with you here on this Thursday morning. Coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios. Home is more than a house. Of course it is. It's a personal paradise. Get yours with Rocket Mortgage. Push button. Get mortgage. Shep, Mike, Pete across the way. Andrew with your updates to 9 a.m. Eastern time. We go, Taz, as some interesting wheelings and dealings going on right now in Minnesota. We've got a Roquan Smith update as well. We'll get to that from the Chicago Bears. Thursday Night Football later on tonight as well to go along with all the baseball playoffs. And what I mean by that is, you know, Stephon Diggs, as we discussed yesterday with Minnesota, right, as they get set to take on the Giants this week in Jersey on the road. And we talked about Kirk Cousins and him going on his radio show and apologizing to Adam Thielen for missing some throws after Thielen was critical of some of the deep passes and some of the misreads in their loss last Sunday out in Chicago against the Bears. On Wednesday, who wasn't at practice? Stephon Diggs was not at practice. And he had a good game against the Chicago Bears. 7 catches, 108 yards. Stephon Diggs was missed practice, not due to injury, unrelated to injury, as was reported. And with the NFL trade deadline coming your way October 29th, and with this Minnesota Viking team being so heavy run-oriented as it is right now, trying to maximize Dalvin Cook, a healthy Dalvin Cook, and maybe minimize Kirk Cousins. They've made that adjustment offensively, Taz. Mm. What's the future now of Stephon Diggs, who's clearly a little bit bothered by his role, mispracticed on Wednesday, and there's been wide-ranging speculation that maybe the Minnesota Vikings, even though they've come out and said, we're not going to trade him, that maybe the Minnesota Vikings trade him within the next month.
Wow. And now that's... That would be crazy. I mean, to me, in my opinion, and by him not being at practice, it's not injury, and no one knows what's up, which I feel like lately, I don't know about you, but I feel like that's all we're hearing lately. Guys are, you know, missing practices, and of course, they're disgruntled, but they're not saying they're disgruntled, but it's always some different reason, right? It just seems like, I don't know.
I feel like it's been more of a storyline this year than it was a year ago. I agree with you there.
Yeah, I agree. I guess these guys are going to get their messages across anywhere they can. I mean, Stephon Diggs is a guy that, as you know, this is a guy you want to keep on your team. I mean, I'd take him on my team in a heartbeat, the player he is. I don't know the guy personally, but I think he's a tremendous receiver, quick, reliable, and all that. And I think he had over 100 yards in reception.
Yep, but, I mentioned that. 7 for 108 against the Bears.
Yeah, I mean.
But let me ask you this, Taz. Let me just throw this out there for you. If I've gone away from the passing game and I've got Thielen, I've got a young tight end that I like a lot in Irv Smith. Do I need Stephon Diggs?
I think you do, because I understand you got Thielen and you got a great, well, potentially great running back in Dalvin Cook. I got that, and I get you just broke down the tight end spot. I do think you need that double threat there of Thielen and Diggs, and it worked in the past, you know, because as a secondary unit defensively, who are you covering? You know, who's your one corner on? Who, you know what I mean? Like what?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So. I think you do need that. I get your point. If you're going to go more run heavy and run tight ends, across the middle or in the flat, and you got tied in Irv Smith, a young guy you like, or a veteran guy, or older guy like a Kyle Rudolph type guy, you know. So you don't have to really worry maybe about stretching the field, but it's a pass league, as we know. I mean, yeah.
I don't disagree with you, Taz, but I also think it's kind of – I don't get what Minnesota's trying to do offensively, because I if I've got the weapons I have on the outside in Thielen and Stephon Diggs, I'm not saying you throw the ball on every down.
Right.
But you can't go away from the pass. I mean, then what's the point? I mean, if you're – you know, if you're going to say, well, it's all about, as Vince Lombardi said, execution. Right, if we execute, they could know what play we're calling. But if we execute our blocking, we are going to be successful running that play, which, you know, could have a debate about. But,
yeah.
I mean, if you look at the scenario here with the Minnesota Vikings, you bring it, as you met, we've talked about, passing league.
Yeah.
I spent all this money on Kirk Cousins. I've got two dynamic wide receivers right. that complement each other very, very well exactly. in the style and fashion which they did it. But it seems like the Minnesota Vikings coming off last year said, no, we're good. Now we're going to become like the we're going to become like the 82 Skins. And we're going to just run John Riggins until basically his legs come off. I mean, you know,
which I love that stuff.
Get it, Taz, but this is not 82.
No,
it's 2019 and they're
right.
begging you to throw the football.
I know. And you have to.
And the Redskins even then still had the fun bunch, and they still threw it.
They did throw. Who was their main receiver back then?
Art Monk.
Monk. I forgot about Monk. And that's when they had the Hogs and everything. Yeah, they were great.
It was
they were fun
group.
To watch. Oh, it's great. They were fun to watch. You everybody's throwing a ball now for a reason. It's a speed league. You know, I mean, you need that. So if you got a guy like Diggs, he's a fast guy. He's always been a really good receiver. I mean, I don't know if it's coming down to money for them or what it is, but I mean, to me,
if they don't throw it this week against the Giants,
it's wide open, dude.
I mean, you got to be kidding me.
No, but you're right.
The only team that can't do it is the Skins because they're inept.
Yeah, I don't know if they have any wide receivers. So even last year, you saw that more each year. It seems like more and more passings happen in the league, and stars like Julio Jones or Hopkins or Mike Evans. These guys are, you know, Juju, obviously Antonio Brown before the whole thing that, well, you know, everything happened with him. All these guys are stars. Beckham, you could go on and on the list of wide receivers that are great. And I'm not saying Stephon Diggs is great, but Diggs last year was definitely in the top 20 in receiving. You know, he's a top 20 receiver. And that's if you're throwing in tight ends and wide receivers, he's in that. You know, I mean, last year he was, I'm saying. So he's a guy that I feel, I mean, I don't know, I'd want him on my team. I mean, you?
Yeah, I would definitely take him.
That's what I'm saying. I thought maybe I'm missing something here.
Diggs is a good player. I would take Stephon Diggs. I don't disagree with you.
There's no headaches with him either.
No, there isn't. And plus, he had one of the great moments in your franchise's history.
True.
About the Minnesota Miracle.
The Miracle, that's right.
I mean, so, and I get that's one playing guys. I mean, David Tyree doesn't have a lifelong contract with the Giants for the catch in 07, but he's a really good player, Taz, and I think maybe they have to start to utilize those weapons. If they don't this week against the Giants, then that would be strange. Out to Chicago. Because we discussed it on Monday, Tuesday, and even yesterday morning a little bit, Taz. Roquan Smith, talented second-year linebacker out of Georgia, high draft choice by the Bears a couple drafts ago. He had 100-plus tackles his rookie year, Taz. Missed the game this past Sunday against the Vikings for personal reasons. Nagy was asked about it. Would not add anything to it. He was back at practice on Wednesday and told the media that he will play this Sunday.
You know, listen, maybe he has, maybe it's obviously something personal because they're not saying what it is. So I don't know he's a young guy, he's 22 years old. I don't know if he's married or not. You know, maybe he's got something going on in his marriage or his relationship with his significant other, whatever that is. You know, who knows, right? It's like a needle in a haystack. It could be anything. It could be a litany of things. But, you know, for him to say, if I'm a Bears fan and I know that he's saying, hey, listen, I'm all in, I'm going to be playing, I'm playing Sunday, you know, I'm happy. You know, I mean, I hope the guy, everything works out for him personally, but I want him on the field if I'm a Chicago Bear fan. I mean, he's that good.
I don't disagree with you. Now I'm going to throw, and, you know, I don't have any clarity. You don't have any clarity. Nobody really has any clarity. No. The Bears have done a nice job of keeping that in-house, whatever it might be around Roquan Smith. Do you think they owe the fans an explanation?
Well, I think that's the topic, and I think that's a great question.
Do you think the fans should know I'm buying season tickets?
Right.
I don't know. Are there personal seat licenses in Chicago? I'm not sure. I mean, it seems like every stadium's done that. But anyway, I'm spending a lot of money on season tickets. Do I, Joe season ticket holder, or Joe Bear fan, Jill Bear fan, do I deserve an explanation about why Roquan Smith did not play and was out for personal reasons? Am I owed that?
The short answer for me is no, you're not owed that. But I understand why some folks might disagree with that, and because, you know, we throw around the words about fans of being season ticket holders and stuff like that, because it's not a throwaway statement in
sports. I invest.
You invest. That's my point. In long-winded form, what I'm saying, you're invested in these players. You're, in essence, paying their salaries, you know? I mean, wrestling fans, I'll tell you, they're always fast to tell you. If you go out a wrestling fan, when you work for a wrestling company, like when I was under contract to WWE or TNA, and if I went at a little argument on Twitter, you know, with a fan, I'd be like, I pay your bills! They'll tell you right away. Oh, yeah. Sure. And they'll tell you right away, I pay your bills. Like, well,
I don't expect anything different.
Right. They'll come right at you and tell you. On Twitter, they'll tell you they pay your bills. But in essence, I understand that. And the season ticket holder for the Chicago Bears, you know, is spending a lot of money on that. Or they're buying merchandise. They're buying his jersey. They're, you know, all that jazz. I understand why some would think you deserved an explanation why he didn't play against a division rival in the Vikings. You know, but I feel it's personal for a reason. And not everything is for public consumption. You know, it should be, in my opinion, kept quiet.
Right.
Whatever that is.
Now it's 1 week. Now, would you feel differently if it kept on going on for 2, 3, 4 weeks a month?
Yes, I would. I think then you either let's say hypothetically went on for a couple of weeks, I think, and this guy's a starter and a main cog in that defensive wheel for the Bears, I do think you got to say something like, you got to go to another level, not the highest level. So let's say I hate to even give examples, but hypothetically, it's something in his relationship, hypothetics. And it's like, well, he's dealing with something, you know, internally, like in his home. I mean, I don't know. I'm just spitballing here, you know.
Yeah, no, I get
it. It's just got to give them a little more, I think, than just like if he's gone for a couple weeks. But that's not the case, as we know. But I get your
no,
question.
No, I do think there is a difference there, Taz. And that's why, you know, I posed the question to you. I think for a week, I don't think I don't disagree. I can understand the Bear fans saying, wait, what the hell? Roquan Smith wasn't hurt all week long, and now all of a sudden he's not playing against the Minnesota Vikings. Won't win a miss here. And then you're like, you're trying to get that clarity from the head coach, and the head coach is like, he was out for personal reasons.
Right.
Well, I mean, that doesn't necessarily work for me. I mean, that doesn't work for me on a lot of different levels. Now the Bears end up winning the game, so no harm, no foul. You move on to the very next day. The longer it continued, Taz, I really believe the more you need to explain it to the fans. You don't have to go deep dive onto everything that's going on with Roquan Smith. You don't have to tell me everything that's going on, whether it's personal, whatever it might have been. But I do think the fans, if it went on longer than just a week, if he was missing the game this week in London as they take on the Raiders, I think the fans would then say, what's going on here?
Yeah.
And you would need to explain what exactly is going on with Roquan Smith.
Yeah.
I think a week, I don't think it's that big of a deal.
Yeah.
I think the longer it goes, Taz, I think the Bear fan deserved and had the right to know what the hell was going on.
And you're right, and I agree with that. And, you know, I mean, this is one of those things I don't think us as media members or fans, in general football fans, not just Bear fans, I don't think anyone's going to know. I think they kept us quiet. I mean, well, maybe I'm wrong. I mean, sometimes things could leak out over time. I don't think that's the case. It depends who knows this. If his whole team knows, someone might leak that out, whatever the heck happened. But it seems like Smith kept this thing, I'm assuming, pretty quiet in confidence amongst his coaches or his position coach and maybe his head coach.
Well, Danny Trevathan was asked a question yesterday.
Right.
And was asked a question. I don't know exactly how the question was formed, but he chuckled at it. It was asked about his concern about Roquan Smith. He chuckled. And he said, I'm less concerned than you are. You guys keep asking us about it. So maybe, you know, maybe guys in that club, you know, he goes, I'm just worried about the guy that has my back. You know, so, you know, maybe it's a scenario here, Taz, where there's some guys in that inner circle in that Bears locker room or clubhouse that do know, and they've done a nice job of keeping it tight. I mean, I would think how close that group is as a football team is, Taz. I would think it would be hard to keep it from those guys. You know what I'm saying? I would think in that locker room there are guys that know what went down. And you know, they've done a nice job of keeping his personal business.
Yeah, and I think you have to as far as Bathan, I mean, to say that, like, you guys keep asking us, well, what do you expect of me to ask you, dude?
I know.
I mean, what do you expect him to ask you, dude? I mean, this guy's on your team. He's a major starter on your team. He's a major player on that defense, which is legit. Like, what do you expect these men and women in the media not to ask you that question?
No, I think he's just, he's just being sarcastic. You know what I'm saying?
I don't like sarcasm. I don't believe it.
I know that. Trust me, I know. Loud and clear.
I'm not into sarcasm.
I know.
Yeah, I like facts, all business. That's me.
Oh, stop.
Yeah.
855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. The latest on the Jalen Ramsey trade rumors. We're going to head down to Jacksonville. We'll also touch upon the wrestling. Last night, big night in wrestling as well. The wars have begun. Yes, AEW, yes. WWE, we'll get into that too. It's Taz, it's Moose on a Thursday morning. CBS Sports Radio.
Give Taz and the Moose a call. 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line of 855-212-4227 is brought to you by our good friends at Geico. Great news, quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico, go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes you'll save 15% or more on your car insurance. We'll get to the latest and greatest around Jalen Ramsey. We will do that here momentarily. Bogus is in the house. What's up, Andrew?
Moose and Taz, here's your report.
Yes.
Sponsored by Geico. Great news, there's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more
before we talk
on car insurance.
Before we talk more sports, I just want to say, is there any way that, why don't we have, I should say, an intern on the show? Does anybody know, like, someone that could run, like, if we needed a cup of coffee, like, what interns do besides learn the trade, but, you know, get coffee, hey, run, maybe you can, hey, here's $20, get a couple egg sandwiches, here, get one for yourself, too. Why do we not have that here? Does anybody here have that
no
answer?
No one has interns.
We have everybody with open mics. Nobody has an answer. Nobody.
No, the interns went away a couple of years ago.
There were interns here?
Well, yes. Yeah. And then we have that. Only summer interns now.
Correct.
Okay. They have newsroom responsibilities.
Yes.
Well, there should be an intern assigned to every show.
Ha!
Okay.
Nope.
All right, take it away.
Chernoff should be the intern.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, there you go, Pete.
Smart move.
Yeah.
I had a big conversation. Pete went there.
What's that?
Big convo in the newsroom this morning with Mark Chernoff about how Mark Chernoff has never, ever, ever had a sip of beer in his life.
Now, we were discussing this in the control room. Did he tell you that? Did Chernoff tell you that himself?
Yes. Because here's how it all began. He was handing out koozies. MLB Network, I think, sent like a welcome
a
to the postseason. Yes. So he was handing out koozies. He offered one to Amy Lawrence, who hosts After Hours, and she went, "Oh, I don't drink beer."
Well,
and
hold on a second. You don't need a koozie just for beer. You could have a cold can of seltzer.
Seltzer, exactly.
Yes.
That was my 8:30 story.
We both use seltzer. How sad is that? We're reading the script so well.
I mean, and then he goes, "Yeah, I've never had beer." I turn around, I'm like, "Never,
who's
ever,
he?
Ever, Mark
Chernoff."
Oh, Chernoff.
Follow along, Tess.
Wow.
Well, adjectives don't play well on the radio.
So, do you drink wine? No, I don't really like wine. And then like, I had a couple of screwdrivers when he was in college, and it didn't feel well.
He'll drink hard liquor, but not a beer or
wine.
He doesn't drink.
No drinking at all.
No drink.
He doesn't drink.
Zero drinking.
So he's probably an OJ guy. Maybe just drinks OJ or apple juice. I can see him maybe being a grapefruit chef.
Chocolate milk
or regular milk?
Does he still have that consecutive days of running every morning? Is that still going?
I don't know.
Yes.
It's still going.
Definitely.
Oh, he's a great shit.
No, he runs every morning.
Every morning at like 4 o'clock in the morning, he's out running.
Yeah, he's in great shape. Yeah, he does run. He works out
cold,
hard.
Rain, wind. It does not matter.
Yeah, no, doesn't matter.
He's a pit bull. Yeah, we know. It's well documented.
He's a pit bull.
He's a pit bull.
Mile 5.
In the body of a poodle.
Yes, that's
he's a pit bull.
Hey, you know, so it's interesting. Yeah, so he hasn't had a sip of beer. He never had a sip. Wow, he'd be a hoot to go out and just say, hey, you know what, Mark, listen, you got to. He would probably get bombed on three sips of beer.
Yeah.
Could you imagine? Imagine Chernoff drunk. Wow. He'd probably be mean drunk, throwing punches at people. Hey, you son of a. That would be awesome. He's like cracking guys.
I think he'll be a happy drunk.
No, I don't. I think he'd be mean.
I'm God, sure this is the best night of my life.
I'm sure he. Yeah. Right, exactly. I love mean. You all. Right, exactly. Give
You're
me a
best.
Hug. You're the best. Yeah, exactly. That would be awesome.
Can I call you Tazzy?
I don't know, man. I think he'd be a mean, angry drunk because he's a nice guy regularly.
Tell me about the Sheik, the Iron Sheik. I loved him.
Yeah, because people, you know, there's no tolerance. If you don't drink a lot, you know, then you have a couple of sips of beer, and then you know, you're bombed.
By the way, Sergeant Slaughter's getting interviewed by Boomer and Geo. It would be a good spot for you guys.
Oh, that's another topic. Yeah, so, sorry.
I'll make that a note.
I'll make a note of that, Michael. Thank you, buddy.
I'll have a rolling rock.
Rolling rock.
So maybe you guys should try and go out and maybe have a couple of spirits with Mark Chernoff, the boss.
You
might
think?
Be a good time of year to curry favor with him, you know?
Yeah.
Just saying.
Oh, yeah.
Everyone gets all like, well, wait, Taz. Ooh. Well, no, really. Okay.
Wait till December.
I'm not sure by breaking his lifelong quest to not drink alcohol is a good way to curry favor with
him. Yeah, loosens things up. There's nothing wrong with that. It's a couple of spirits, you know, some wings.
Couple of
right, get out of here at 9 a.m. Hey, let's go get a Bloody Mary.
Yeah. Go right next door to Westville.
Just
get a couple of drinks. You know what I mean?
Potato fries.
Yes.
See, now a mimosa is a good idea.
Mimosa.
Mimosa is good because you could sell Mark on the fact that there's juice in it.
Correct.
And seltzer. He wouldn't even know.
He wouldn't even know.
Yeah.
And just, oh, you know what you do? You take them to a Japanese restaurant, and you get some sake with them. See, the thing is with sake, because sake's warm, when you drink sake, you don't taste. Anybody here ever drink sake?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so when you drink sake, everyone's like, yes, yes. You're all drinkers, obviously.
Yes.
So when you drink sake, as you men know, it's warm, so you don't taste the alcohol. But if you let sake, if you guys go to a restaurant with your significant other, go to a Japanese restaurant, and you order sake, and you let it sit there for 5 minutes, which, looking at all of you, none of you have ever let any alcohol sit too long in a glass.
That's right.
Wow. But if you did, I promise you how you would taste the difference in sake when it cools off. It
tastes,
I'm not kidding. It's almost like rubbing alcohol. Like, the alcohol level on that is insane in good
sake. It tastes better when you let it cool off?
Depends what you like. If you like a powerful drink, then yeah, it's very powerful. Like, you really taste the alcohol. Straight Jones. Like,
okay.
Like, really, really strong. They warm it because you don't taste the strength of it when you drink it.
Oh, I got you.
And that's how you can get really drunk on sake. If you just drink it warm all the time, you're going to get S-faced quick.
Yeah, you can buy it chilled as well.
Yes.
So with that option, you would
see
you later.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it does serve it chilled
I didn't know that. Chilled. How does it taste chilled?
I don't know, but you can have it chilled.
I never had sake. I never even heard of that, but I believe you. I never had that.
Yeah, no, you definitely can.
Right. Yeah. No, I've had sake chilled as well.
Chilled, yeah.
Right. And I think there's different levels of alcohol levels content as well.
Probably
some are stronger
different
than others.
Sakes, yeah. No, that makes sense.
But
could you go get some for us right now, Mike?
Yes.
Are the stores open this early? I don't know. Can I?
I'm sure there's some liquor store in NYC that's open.
Dude, I had.
If you really want me to.
No.
Years ago, in Japan, wrestling there, and we'd go to dinner and stuff with, like, sponsors, like, you know, big advertisers and stuff like that. And man, and you almost have to drink. Like, if you're not, like, Mark Chernoff would not do well at these meetings, at these restaurants back in Japan years ago when he was wrestling. If he was wrestling, that'd be funny.
Yeah.
But anyway, and
wow.
I remember having like maybe 6 or 7 shots of sake. And it's not sipping. You got like, kanpai! And you pound it with these guys. Like, you know, and they're speaking Japanese. You have no idea what they're saying. You just know they want you to keep drinking.
Or you could do a sake bomb.
Yeah. I never done
drop it into a glass of beer and chug it back.
I never done that. That's probably more of an Americanized thing.
I'm sure it is.
Probably, yes.
I'm sure I'd venture to guess it's a good statement. Yeah. I don't think they're doing that in Tokyo.
I don't think they're doing that in Roppongi outside of Tokyo.
Yeah,
America.
I don't think that's happening, right? I think that's the Americanized version.
Americanized.
Get the alcohol in me as quickly as possible.
30 seconds.
I'm going to chug a 16-ounce beer with a shot of sake.
You know what? This needs beer.
Let's throw the sake in some Schlitz. Let's throw it in some Schlitz. No, get the Peels. One throw in Peels? All right, yeah.
Sapporo, great beer.
Sapporo's a great beer.
Fantastic.
And Kieran. I don't know if you ever have Kieran.
I've never had Kieran.
You have?
Yes. Andrew?
Yeah, that's really good. I like Sapporo, too. I think Kieran's a little better, but Kieran's real good. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I've done a little drinking in the old Osaka, Tokyo, Narita, all that whole area. Yes.
Yeah. I've done one in Benihana in Manhattan.
In Manhattan.
Well, spot. The Benihana's great.
Right off the Boulevard. Right the Boulevard. Yeah, no,
yeah. What's going on, Andrew?
Guys, baseball's lowest payroll alive and well in the postseason. The Rays flexing their muscles in the AL wildcard game last night in Oakland.
Pitch. Javi drives one to center field. Back at it is Canna. He's just going to turn around, and it's off the Holy Toledo side. A two-run home run for Javi Garcia. Rays 3, Oakland nothing here on the second.
Dave Wills on Rays Radio. Garcia's two-run homer. In between, solo shots from Yandy Diaz off Oakland lefty Sean Manaea. Tommy Pham added a solo shot in the fifth, and that was all Charlie Morton, Diego Castillo, Nick Anderson, and Emilio Pagan needed. They held the A's to just 8 singles, struck out 12, induced a pair of inning-ending double plays. Outfielder Austin Meadows.
Oakland's a great team. You know, our pitching just was a lot better tonight, you know. So we dominated out there, and we're going to continue to build this momentum into Houston. We believe we can play with anybody out there, and, you know, Houston's a great team, and we're going to give it our best shot to go out there and win some games.
Game one of that division series with the Astros in Houston tomorrow. As for the A's, they extend their MLB record losing streak in do-or-die games to 9. 6 of those losses have come at the Coliseum. The National League has the stage today. Game one in Atlanta for the Braves and Cardinals, 5 Eastern. Then game one for the Dodgers and Nationals in L.A. around 8:30. Walker Buehler starts for the Dodgers. Patrick Corbin for Washington. Arizona Cardinals owner Bill Bidwell died yesterday at 88. His dad bought the Chicago Cardinals back in 1932. Bill became owner in 72. Jaguars owner Shad Khan told the AP last night, quote, "The best thing is to have him be part of the team, with him being unhappy corner Jalen Ramsey." And the Patriots plays kicker Steven Gostkowski on injured reserve yesterday. He apparently needs season-ending left hip surgery. Kawhi Leonard put in a full contact practice at Clippers camp in Honolulu yesterday. Doc Rivers opened the door for Leonard starting today's preseason game with the Rockets, but the plan has been Leonard skipping their 2 games in Hawaii. The St. Louis Blues raised their Stanley Cup banner, then took a quick 2-0 lead on the Capitals, then lost 3-2 in overtime on a goal from Jacob Vrana. The Leafs beat the Senators 5-3, Edmonton 3, Vancouver 2, and the Golden Knights beat the Sharks 4-1. All of that on opening night in the NHL. And Elena Deladon has a herniated disc in her back. The Washington Mystics blamed back spasms when Deladon left game 2 of the WNBA Finals early. She's obviously in doubt for game 3. That's on Sunday in Connecticut with the series tied at 1. Guys?
All right, Andrew. Appreciate it. You mentioned during the course of your update in terms of the latest and greatest with Jalen Ramsey down there in Jacksonville, and the Jags owner, Shad Khan, as Andrew just articulated, came out and said that there are no plans right now to trade Jalen Ramsey. Now, the trade deadline in the National Football League, as we were talking about Stephon Diggs earlier this hour, is October 29th. So we're still 26 days away, give or take, away from that deadline hitting here, Taz. But he every point that we emphasize, you know, we're not looking to trade him. We're better with him on their team. Kind of paraphrasing here, right, is everything that we mentioned about the time. We'll see if that does hold over the course of the next 4 weeks here. But right now, they're looking to roll the dice here with Ramsey being a part of the team.
Yeah, I guess they're hoping that we've been saying, maybe things cool down and hopefully it does. I mean, but you're going to get to a point, I think, unfortunately, for the Jags, where if it continues, you know, once you get to that deadline, like you're saying, if the guy doesn't want to be there, and if it's like, all right, well, it's his back, all right, well, his fiance or his girlfriend, I can't recall, is in labor or having a baby, you know, then if it's all right, he doesn't feel good. I mean, if there's all these different excuses, if Jalen's doing that, then you're going to have to. You just can't. Even as great of a player as, if he doesn't want to play football for the team, and he's finding different ways not to be, if things are getting in the way from not to play or practice, you're going to have to just fish a cup bait at some point. You know?
Well, right. I don't disagree. I'm fascinated to see the Ramsey reaction today coming off the Khan comments on Wednesday. That's what I'm fascinated to see here in terms of when he gets asked about it, as the, you know, Jaguars have, you know, drawn a line in the sand. Reportedly, they're looking for 2 first-round draft choices or a first-round pick, a second or third round pick and a player as well. I mean, that's kind of been the rate they've been looking for Jalen Ramsey. I'm curious, and you know, when you know he keeps on telling you podcast to the media, Taz, he, you know, he still Ramsey, wants to be traded. Yeah, Ramsey, that is that he wants to be traded. I'm curious after what Khan had to say, what the Ramsey reaction is in terms of if he still holds the fort. Does he not provide a comment? Does he back down a little bit? You know, I'm curious about that.
It's not the first. I mean, listen, earlier in September, I mean, I think it was probably mid-September, Mr. Khan, Shad Khan, the owner of the Jags, he was saying he wants to pay Jalen Ramsey. He wants, he spoke glowingly of Ramsey. You know, he wants to keep him on the team. I've seen Tony Khan, Shad Khan's son, who owns AEW, on social media defend Jalen Ramsey, you know, for being out and defended him with pride, you know, towards a member of the media that covers the Jags down in Jacksonville. So the Khan family wants Ramsey there. I mean, so it's like, you know, your teammates want you there. So I don't, I mean, I eventually we're going to find
disrespect.
I guess, right?
Well, that's what he said. He said He said it's nothing about the owner. It's not about the front office. He feels disrespected. So that he's in a position, Taz, not a lot of people are, where he's going to get paid.
Right.
You know, whether it be the Jaguars or somebody else.
Right,
I mean, Jalen Ramsey's going to get paid.
Agreed.
And going to get paid a lot of money. It's great that they've come out and said that. If it was just about money, Taz, maybe that situation would have been rectified already.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
if it was just about that, it seems to be more than that. As the Jaguars continue to push the Gardner Minshew narrative, did you see what they're doing in terms of if you're in the greater Jacksonville area? So the Jaguars are now offering the Minshew mini pack. You can purchase tickets.
I did not see this. Hold on. Really?
Purchase tickets for games to the Saints and the Jets. Mm. What do you get? Here's what you get.
Okay.
A bandana.
All right.
A mustache. And you can go on field with your gear and take photos with your family on the field down in Jacksonville. So purchase tickets. Go see the Saints and Jets. You're in the greater Jacksonville area, and you get a bandana, mustache, on field with your gear, and it's the Minshew mini pack.
This is perfect. This is perfect with the Jags, because we're on around the corner is Halloween. So now you have a bunch of people running around Jacksonville like Minshew Mania. It'd be great.
Yes. It's not a bad promotion.
Nah,
I got to be honest with you.
They're running with it, man. It's smart.
But it's smart, but here's the deal. Like, I don't know, for the kids.
It's
you know, you get
kids.
To get on the field. You
it's
get to take a picture. You're like 10, 11, 12 years old. You're on the Jacksonville field taking a photo. I don't know if you'll be at the 50-yard line.
Right, right.
You might be on the sideline there, but you'll be able to get on the field. That's smart by Jacksonville. And who would ever thought? I mean, what would the odds be, Taz, if we were having a conversation in July and I said, listen, I'm going to throw a curveball at you. Gardner Minshew is going to be a talking point during the NFL season. People would have been like, are you insane?
Yeah, nobody would. No,
like, what did you smoke this morning?
Nobody's buying
that. Nobody would be
that.
Buying that.
No,
and here we are in early October, and Gardner Minshew is a recognizable name and is such a star down in Jacksonville that they've now created the Minshew mini pack.
And he's playing pretty good, man. So, yeah. And we should try and get the mini pack. We should try and get a bunch of those. You know what I mean?
I can email the Jags and ask for one.
We'll get a bandana and a mustache.
I know some people who know Tony Khan, but I'm sure he's busy right now at this, well, after AEW debuted yesterday.
Yes.
And everything going on with the Jaguars. I'm sure. Hey, Tony, TK, what's up? It's Taz. Hey, listen, how about some of those Minshew packs for the guys at the station? Can you get me like 10 of them? It'd be like, click. He'd hang up my face.
He'd be like, where do you want the tickets?
Yeah.
Like, no, I don't want the...
I want the Minshew pack.
I just want... No, right.
I want the mustache.
Well, no, they go hand in hand.
I don't want the tickets. We want a bunch of mustaches.
Exactly, and bandanas.
Yeah, bandanas. Yeah.
So there you have it. If you're in the Jacksonville area, go out there and get your tickets. Jags against the Saints and the Jets. You do that, a bandana, a mustache, and you get to go on the field down there in Jacksonville. Smart. Come back. We'll talk a little bit about... the Wednesday Night War, NXT, and the AEW. We'll do that next. It's Taz Moose, CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. You're listening. listening to Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, Wednesday Night War, Taz, NXT, AEW. Last night it got going in full force.
Yeah, no, it did. You know, that's the thing, and a lot of people, I mean, everyone is looking at it like that, and it sounds cool, Wednesday Night Wars. You know, the thing for me is, like, and I've been saying this on my podcast, you know, because last night was the debut on TNT of AEW, and for those that don't know, and while that was happening, you know, WWE's NXT was live. They're going head up against each other, 8 p.m. Eastern to 10 p.m. Eastern, both companies, WWE's NXT and the AEW, which is on Turner Networks, TNT. So it's the first time in years since wrestling's been back on the Turner Networks. And so AEW, which we mentioned last segment, is owned by the Khan family, who owns the Jaguars, Tony Khan. And they, so a lot of folks talk about the Wednesday Night Wars. This was the beginning of it, yada, yada. You know, for me, I have to speak on this. I'll tell you, I don't look at it as a war. I didn't even flip back and forth. Truth be told, I watched AEW. I was more intrigued by AEW, and I was enjoying it. So, and I'm going to do a full breakdown on the Taz Show today. The podcast will drop in the afternoon Eastern. Me giving a recap, full detail, Jones, on AEW. So you can get that at where you get Taz and Moose. Same spot, radio.com, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, whatever. So the thing is, it's not a war to me, because WWE has already a structure in place for years, and they have a strong relationship and content nonstop for years on the USA Network. Now you put NXT on there, so AEW has a lot of catching up to do. So it's unfair to say they're even in a war to me. AEW is competing against AEW. That's how I look. If I was AEW, if I was in a room with Tony Khan, what I would say to him and Cody Rhodes and the Young Bucks and Kenny Omega, I would tell their EVPs, in my opinion, if they asked, I'd say, you guys are competing against yourselves. Don't worry about what WWE is doing. And I'll tell you this, during that AEW show yesterday, that's what they did so well. They really didn't acknowledge WWE. They didn't take any shots at WWE. They didn't do any of that. And they had a former WWE champion debut on AEW at the end of the night in Jack Swagger. So, where he came out and made an impact at the end of the AEW broadcast. But anyway, I don't look at it as a war. You know, I don't. Knowing WWE, they want to hold all the cards, and they want to try and put out AEW. And I think it's going to be a little harder than people think, because the reason why I say that, Tuesday night on TNT, what happened was AEW aired like a 1 hour package show, basically just all like recaps of how this relationship started with the Khans and all these EVPs and the Young Bucks and Cody Rhodes, and all video packaging, backstory on that, on some of the storylines, just as kind of an appetizer, table setter for their debut last night. Well, the number on that, okay, a lot of people don't know that, unless you really follow wrestling, that happened Tuesday night, was north of 610,000, I think it was, something like that. Pete, something like 610,000? 610,000. That's a really good number for a show. Had no live action. It was a one-hour show that wasn't even really promoted that hard.
Right.
And I spoke to a lot of people in AEW. Most of that footage was taped months ago. You get that kind of number on a show like that, there's a good chance this show last night, the live wrestling show for AEW, is going to be north of 1 million people, which is a really good number, because NXT the past 2 weeks has done 1 million. So if WWE NXT is doing 1 million live on USA, and now AEW can get close to 1 million, well, that's great for wrestling, and it's awesome for AEW.
Right.
We'll know that later today, by the way.
Right. Yeah. And certainly it'll be interesting. I'd be fascinated to see if that number for NXT dropped in terms of viewers with AEW's first show.
There's no way. I don't think it's going to. Why would you think it was going to drop? Why would it drop?
Well, the amount of viewers, if any viewers left NXT to go watch the premiere of AEW.
Oh, I'm sorry. I misheard you. I thought you said. So you're saying the number on. Oh, okay. The million. Well, that's the million dollar question. Well, you're right.
I'm curious to see if they were doing a million, as you mentioned. I didn't know that the first couple weeks, and then all of a sudden last night they're doing 800,000.
Right.
And 200,000 of their viewing audience decided to go watch the premiere of AEW. That to me would be fascinated. Or maybe there's just, you know, and the fan base is huge in wrestling that there's so many people to draw upon. Maybe NXT will retain the amount of viewers that they had, and AEW's numbers will be right around a million or 1 point, whatever it might be, Taz. I'm fascinated to see if that NXT number does drop at all. I look at, Taz, when we talked about the
Hold on, what you just said right there is what a lot of people are wondering, and that's the key. You're thinking properly, because that is, that would be... That's going to be the intriguing thing. What happens with that NXT number? What happens to the AEW? Is there so much wrestling fans that are thirsty for wrestling on Wednesday nights that they're both hitting a million? You know, and we'll know that later this afternoon.
You know, Taz, and you know that industry a lot better than I do. But I would have to, I don't know how many, I would have to venture there were some that watched the NXT the first couple weeks and then ventured on over to watch just in pure curiosity.
Sure.
Just to watch AEW launch it the first night. I mean, you'd have to just, I mean, if you're a huge wrestling fan and you're investing money and you're familiar with all the guys' names and Omega and the, you know, and the Young Bucks and Cody Rhodes and this and that, and the amount of buzz that's been surrounding at AEW, I don't know what that number is, but I would have to imagine there were wrestling fans that said, you know, I've watched NXT the last couple weeks. I'm going to now invest my time to see what AEW is all about. Maybe they didn't hold them. Maybe they did. I mean, we'll find out. But I would imagine there is a number there. We'll see how significant that number is.
Well, it's funny you said that because I put out a poll yesterday during the day before AEW and NXT went on the air.
Right.
I put out a poll basically saying, what are you going to be watching exactly at 8 p.m.? So what I meant by that was, that doesn't mean flipping around. Like, once 8 p.m. happened last night Eastern, are you going to watch AEW? Are you going to watch NXT? And I just showed you on my laptop here, 70% of the folks said AEW, 30% said NXT. I would assume, just purely on curiosity to your point, you know, the thing is, like, the big number to me is, let's say AEW hits a million from last night. And let's say, to the point you made earlier, NXT gets 850,000, all right? So, all right, next week is the key. That's the number for AEW. To me, that's the key. Can they sustain?
Well, I agree with you. I think this number's key for NXT. I think next week's key for AEW.
Really?
I think that's a very valid point. Taz, I look at it, I think competition's a good thing. You know, maybe you're right in terms of, you know, WWE is so established. AEW is a baby, in getting this thing going, right? They're at the beginning stages. And, you know, everything that you articulated, I totally agree with. Oh, but I do think, you know, I don't know if I'd describe it as a war. I think it's good competition.
It is.
I mean, I think that'll bring the best out of both companies. Now, you mentioned, and I didn't watch the show in its entirety. I did flip over last night when I was at SNY. I watched a little bit. I thought, from what I watched, the show was pretty good. I was entertained.
Oh, yeah. It was.
And I also think that, you know, AEW also, correct me if I'm wrong, Taz, I mean, they did take shots at the WWE when they were initially getting going,
correct?
Right? WWE took shots at the AEW, right?
Yeah, they put their show on Wednesday nights.
Am I wrong? Didn't Triple H take a shot at them or something like
that? This is the quick backstory. You're right.
Okay.
What happened was at the WWE Hall of Fame.
That's it.
Okay, Triple H inducted himself in with his friends.
Right, yeah.
That's what happened.
Yeah.
The DX, all right? He inducted himself in the Hall of Fame. Okay, congrats, Triple H. You're the game. And he took a shot because Billy Gunn, who was part of DX, who went in the Hall of Fame with Triple H and X-Pac and Road Dogg, all these guys, Shawn Michaels, and they were all Triple H's friends. Meanwhile, Billy Gunn, though, at that time, was already signed to work for AEW, and Billy Gunn does work for AEW. So Triple H at the Hall of Fame took a shot at AEW and Billy Gunn right on stage, saying, and I'm paraphrasing, you keep whatever acting the way you're acting, you know, Vince is going to buy that, I don't want to say the word. He said something negative about AEW. And that ticked off the AEW folks. So then when they did their first pay-per-view, Double or Nothing in Las Vegas, Cody Rhodes took like a throne chair and took a sledgehammer to it. It's that Triple H thing's throne thing. Yes. And he destroyed it. And then all right, NXT's like, all right, we're going to put our show now right up against you on Wednesdays. That's kind of what happened. So right now, I think it's smart what AEW's doing. They didn't take shots at WWE last night. They just did their show.
It's going to be fun.
And I think WWE will do the same thing. Just do your show. And competition is good. It's good for the talent. Plus, now you have leverage. For so many years, it was a freaking monopoly, dude.
Yeah,
I worked there when it was a monopoly.
I know.
And that part sucked. I promise you.
You're right. So now, it's good everyone around, for the wrestling fan, for the wrestlers, for the industry, for the business, to now have options. And hopefully, they're able to compete and feed off one another as well. We're going to chat with Aaron Murray. We're going to do that next. Taz Moose, CBS Sports Radio.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events, major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories, the unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.